Ladies and gents, welcome back. It's episode 52 of the Velocity podcast. It's Wednesday, the sun is shining. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm enjoying the vitamin D. Although I will add that for those of you that don't know, I have a hair system, not a wig. It's a hair system.
Yeah, and, get it right. Scaly.
Trying to impress me. It's a bit of a nightmare in the sun because it seems to bleach my hair. So I actually have to put sun cream on my hair in the mornings when it's sunny, and I've kind of got to that a bit late. So I've got a nice shade of ginger. I'm gonna have to get that addressed.
Beautiful. Is that when they said to you that so the only problem here is that you shouldn't really sweat, and if you unless you're Prince Andrew who doesn't sweat, then generally it's a bit of an issue, isn't it? Especially when the weather gets warmer.
Yeah, well, I'm doing like 14 training sessions a week. And he said, don't sweat. He said, the best clients, genuinely, this is what he said, the best clients of ours are ones that sit on their ass all day. And I was like, okay.
So hear me out. I'm just about this to start this thing. It's called 75 Hard. And I'm doing two training sessions a day. Good?
Yeah. So it's a bit of a mission, but no, all good. So yeah, very much enjoying the sun. I think it puts everybody in a slightly better mood. I hope wherever you are in the world listening to this, that you've got some bloody lovely sun rays beaming down on your head. And it's not affecting the color of your hair as much as it is mine.
I was chatting to one of our Australian clients the other day, and obviously around the other side of the world, they're going into their autumn and winter, and it was very rainy. Like, it's going to rain a lot for the next few months. And there aren't many times that as people who live in the UK can be somewhat smug about actually having some sun, because it doesn't come that often. So I am feeling smug, and like you, I'm definitely taking the opportunities that I have to sit out on my deck and soak up some vitamin D.
Good place to do some thinking.
Exactly. So my friend, what's on the radar for this week? What is it that we were chatting before we hit record, and I think there's a principle, a topic that's been in our mind, but also that we've noticed in coaching, in personal trainers, that we wanted to chat on for a bit today.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, for the listeners listening to this, you know, we don't want to overly script this podcast. We're not using it for any other medium other than to just pass on what we learn as we go through this journey, and the information that we find, and the things that we discover as we work with more and more coaches around the world. And the interesting thing is there is always a theme. And what that tells us is that there is no one single trainer out there that has a completely unique problem. It's usually bunched into, a few different categories with sort of multifaceted problems linked within that. And the thing that we've been talking about discussing with a lot of coaches this week is the idea of understanding and appreciating where you are in the journey right now as a coach. And by understanding that, by appreciating that, being able to define what is your one next course of action. And then the follow-on from that, which I guess we'll get to, is that action something that's going to bring you tangible results today or tomorrow? Or is it a project that you're focusing on that actually isn't going to bring you anything right now, but is going to lay the foundations for future success? And it's an ongoing conversation, isn't it, that we have with people around, you know, what is the thing that you should be most focused on right now? And what should you be avoiding or just putting out into the future a little bit more?
Yeah, as I reflect on this, and this is so applicable to us, and I think to every personal trainer out there that's on a journey to grow their business, make it bigger and better, that the default state is more stuff.
Yeah.
Like if I don't proactively do anything about, like, in the way I go about my day to day, you will inevitably be shown, whether it's on Instagram or Facebook or a billboard or someone else talking about something else, be introduced to new or updated, upgraded ideas of things that you could do, maybe you feel you should do, you might want to do. And so we've got this ever increasing input of ideas and things we need to do, i.e. to-do list is growing like without cap. There's an unlimited size of a to-do list. It's getting bigger and bigger, against a very finite and very limited and very precious amount of energy and time and attention. And you've got these total polar opposites happening. You've got all the stuff in the world that you could do and fucking like such a precious amount of time to do it in. And that I think in a nutshell is the problem. And if we don't do anything about that, because that is the default state, like those are just, that's just reality, then I think we have a big problem, which is why, you know, we peddle what we peddle so often to our coaches and as much as we can publicly around the idea of focus and how we focus.
Yeah, we live, you know, it's very true. We live in a very information abundant world, and it's, you know, you've only got to Google something or talk to your phone or type something into ChatGPT and you'll be given 50 different ideas that you could go with to help you achieve a certain outcome. And I think, you know, the more modern day skill set that you need to acquire if you're going to become successful is asking a better question of those 50 things that you have, which is, well, okay, well, which ones don't I need to do? Which ones are not applicable to me? Which ones would be nice to have, but they aren't a priority right now? And instead of looking for lots of different things, instead asking yourself, of this thing that I already have, of this thing that I'm already focused on, how can I make that thing better? How can I create a better outcome with that one thing? Like almost opposed to ticking a box and then moving on. Like, yep, done that. What's next? Yep, done that. And then never revisiting it. Never going, never judging it by the outcome that you get. Never looking at it and saying, that actually isn't fucking working for me. Or that's taking me five times as long as it should. Challenge that part of your brain instead and lean into what you've already got and work out how to make it better. That's the skill set, as opposed to seeing how big your list of things could be.
Yeah, it's so true. And that's a really good question. It reminded me of something I read somewhere. It was a while ago, and it was the not to-do list.
Yeah,
everyone's got a to-do list, one of the ways that you can begin to tackle this problem that we're chatting about is, well, what, as you just said, what do I not need to do, and what should I avoid if I am to make progress? And I think that's just a nice inversion technique to get you thinking in a different way. And when you look at all the stuff on your to-do list, hopefully you are at least making one, and it's not just existing like 57 open Internet Explorer tabs in your head, that you can say, well, no, I don't need to do that. Like, and you can apply the question, right? The question that comes from The One Thing by Gary Keller. It's like, what one thing on this list that if I did that and went all in on it would render other stuff completely pointless and make the progress, like contribute mostly to the progress that I want to make? And asking that question, and so that's two questions we've come up with now. We're kind of stumbling on a theme here, questions we can ask ourselves to make us more productive, that we remove the stuff that isn't going to make a difference. And then we hone in on the one or maybe two things that we want to think, yeah, they're going to make the biggest difference to me. The other question that we just asked ourselves, you and I just had a meeting to review where we're at in our business, somewhat of a macro review of our own, which we teach our trainers. And we asked, of all the stuff that we could work on, because we had a list of projects that we want to work on to improve our service, to improve our marketing and lead gen and sales. And we had to ask, okay, the 80-20 rule, the Pareto's principle says that of all these things that we've got in our lists, 20% of them, one fifth of them, will have 80% of the result that we're chasing over the next 3, 6, 12 months. And so our goal is to identify what 20% we need to work on and then defer or discard the rest, because that's just going to take up so much time relative to the output that it would produce for us personally, for us in the business, and for our clients.
Yeah. Yeah. So to put some context there, I think if I'm right, we had 16 different things on that list. And so I think we whittled it down to four things in the end. So what's that? We're looking at 20. We got it to 25-75. Not quite on Pareto's principle, but close enough. And where we ended up was that, well, if we action those four things, which were all linked to one major topic, if we action those four things, that's probably going to give us 80% of the total outcome we would get than if we'd have tried to tackle all 16. And the reality is, if you're trying to do 16 things in the month of May 24, which is where we're at right now, the chances are we'd do a really shit job of all 16 of them. But there's two of us here. And if we take two of them each, we can put a serious amount of energy, time, and focus into that and get the absolute most out of it. We can really squeeze what we call squeeze the lemon. We can really squeeze every last drop out of those tasks. And the cool thing about that is that's going to give us 80% of the result that we would have got if we'd have been able to manage all 16, which we can't. You can't do it in that time frame.
Yeah.
So that's the best way to get something out of the focus, the energy, the time that you're putting into growth over a period of time. So hopefully that's useful for you listening, because right now, if you're scanning across at your to-do list and you're spending 20 minutes on one thing and then an hour on another, and then you're seeing an Instagram ad for a new app and you're downloading that and spending 2 hours figuring that out, maybe, just maybe, that's the reason why nothing has happened for you over the last 3 to 6 months. And if we can instead just zoom out a little bit, take a look at this big fuck off list of things and pick the one or two that are going to have the biggest influence, you can put all of that time into just one or two things. I guarantee you, you will get a better outcome from that.
Good point.
Should have said that a few weeks back. Might save someone some time.
Yeah. No, I was going to make a point there, and it was really intelligent, but it's just escaped my mind because I was writing down an idea I had for the title of this podcast. The way we do these podcasts is we have a rough idea of what we want to speak about, and then we let whatever happens happen. And then I come up with a really cool title. And I just got one, wrote it down, and then forgot what I was going to say. So podcasting 101, that.
We could do it like the Friends episodes, the one where David forgot what he was talking about.
Yeah, the one where David had a mental blank halfway through the pod. No, I think here we go. I've just got it back. So thank you for that slight diversion. This idea I've been thinking about, and I'm so aware that I get drawn back into this, and I think a lot of people will relate, is what I've coined fake productivity, which is kind of what you were touching on there. We feel like that because if we're doing more stuff, like if I have more things on my to-do list, if I'm multitasking, if I'm knocking down multiple, you know, boulders or hurdles at once, I am therefore productive because of volume. And I think there is a kind of a sneaky little cognitive bias in there where I sort of understand why our brains might think that, because more is like a product. If I do more stuff, that could be argued as more, my output is higher, therefore I'm more effective. I'm doing more things, right? But actually it's a sneaky one because it's inversely true because of what you just described. You do more stuff, you do more stuff less well. And even though your volume of stuff might be higher, the actual output that stuff is there to produce isn't as good. So I think that fake productivity is a bit of a mask or a visage that just sort of sits over us and makes us feel like we're doing stuff. But I think that's actually quite common to explain why trainers are working really hard, but they're actually a hamster in a wheel because they're just not working on the right stuff or they're working on too much stuff. So they're fucking running and the wheel's moving really fast, but it ain't going anywhere. And I think that what we're talking about today could go some way to solving some problems for some.
Yeah, it's almost like you go back to the Industrial Revolution and everything was done on piecework. So you were working in a factory and you got paid, I don't know, threepence, whatever it was back then for the amount of shoes or whatever it was you were creating, you produced. And so the more volume you could churn out, the more money you made. And I think there are elements of business to this day where that is still true. Yeah. But it's certainly not true when it comes to creating something of quality. And I think that if you go down the piecework route as a face-to-face personal trainer, you're going to get burnt out real quick. So the piecework route would be, I'm going to undercut everybody on price. I'm going to sell my coaching for £30 a session because that makes me the cheapest in the area. So more people want to work with me. And I'm going to do as many fucking sessions as I possibly can. I'm not going to work on my product. Not going to work on automating anything. Not going to work too heavily on building systems or looking into the future. I'm just going to pedal the metal right now, and I'm going to get as many people in as I can. And that will take you so far. And then you'll either hit a ceiling, which is a genuine ceiling, because you haven't built the systems to allow you to grow further, or you'll just fucking blow up. And so what we want to challenge you to do is to create a face-to-face service as a personal trainer, which has real quality attached to it. It has systems in place. So it isn't just a busy service. It's actually a business. It actually works. And you're protecting certain parts of your life, your personal time. You're allocating genuine time to work on your business. And because you've done all of that work, you can charge a fee that means you don't need to see 60 people a week to make 7, 8, 9, 10 grand a month or whatever it is that you want to aspire to. You need to see 25 or 30 and you can fit that in a normal working week. So yeah, that kind of ties us on to, I guess, the next piece, which is like the delayed gratification. So to get that business, to get the one that I was just talking about, you've got to do work which has absolutely no initial return. And when that is the one thing that you're focused on, that can be quite challenging because you're putting a lot of work into something that you know is not going to pay off for a little bit of time. It's quite challenging, isn't it?
Yeah. I think a good metaphor for that people understand is a pension, because there's the pension is the idea of an investment into the future. Like, I'm not going to see any of this until I'm 70. But also, when you start, I remember when I started my pension, and I started quite late relatively, but I sort of would check in on the account every now and then, and I'm putting in a few hundred pounds a month. And it's like, it's so little. It's like the amount of the balance in my pension account is so low, and it's not going up anytime soon. But over time, obviously the idea of compound interest and compounding is they call it like the eighth wonder of the world or something, that it's something that we as humans really find hard to fathom, because isn't it like if you take a piece of paper and fold it over 30 times, it would be as tall as the moon?
It's actually 42, and it would close the gap between Earth and the moon.
Yeah, that's it.
If you folded a piece of paper 42 times. I'll tell you how I know that, because my son told me that. He came in from school absolutely buzzing about 3 days ago to tell me. So it's weird that you just mentioned that.
Yeah. And anyway, so the pension metaphor is powerful, because in the beginning, a trainer might not have much time to give. They might be really busy. They might have, you know, lots of clients already, or you might have a family, or you might have a second job that you're kind of using to pay the bills. And there's not a lot of spare time. We hear it a lot. And that's okay. It's a bit like when you start saving, you know, start contributing to a pension. You might not have loads of spare income, but every financial advisor under the sun will say, start anyway. Just start with what you can manage. Even if it's £10, like, build the habit. Same thing that every trainer would say about movement or nutrition. Like, just start somewhere. Start at the smallest level you could possibly start at. And over time, we can build on that. And it's the same thing with spending time investing into your future business and your future self. And I think the idea is very common, right? It's easy to understand, but hard to do when it comes to business. But what we see is, like, if we can wedge the door jam in, if we can get the shoehorn in to kind of squeeze the shoe into the shoe and, like, get you doing an hour or two or three a week and start learning, start investing, about building a system, start running a little mini marketing campaign that takes you an hour to set up, like something small and simple. It's amazing how that can compound over time, because that little thing brings you something back in a month or two. You know, it brings you a few clients, or it saves you some time because you no longer have to write an individual program because you built a skeleton system or whatever the thing is. And so it's a call to arms for trainers who aren't yet or currently investing in their business by working on it. We can just start with a little bit and build on it over time. It's amazing what you can achieve in just 6 months or 12 months.
And I think it's fair to say we've got enough evidence to say these things with a lot of confidence now. Like, we've helped so many coaches from all over the world. And to kind of circle back round to where we started this conversation, there are themes. Yeah. There are lots and lots of themes from coaches. Doesn't matter what country they're from. It doesn't matter what their specialism is. Doesn't matter what their age is. There are so many common themes. And so we just want to keep sharing them with you on here. And hopefully you'll take a little nugget away and you'll be able to implement it into your world. And if you've done that today, then we've done our job.
Yeah, that's it. All right, my friend, let's wrap things up. That was another little cheeky pod. We're back off to crack on with the day, but I enjoyed chatting with you as always, and we'll be back again next week.
Speak for yourself. Cheers, team.
See you, mate.